to tell Phil that the handout, although posted, most of them are not registered for the chat yet. So most of them don't have the handout.
Okay. The handout. And is that from last week's call? Hello?
Hey guys, it's Warren.
Oh, hi Warren.
Can you hear me? Yeah, we're gonna get started. The call's recording and we can definitely stay and answer some questions and get that addressed. But I just wanted to welcome everybody. Is everybody there, ready to go?
I'm not sure that everyone's on the call yet, but they're getting there. This is Sarah Warren.
Hi, Sarah. And I know, Andrea, you jumped on as well.
Yep, I jumped on.
Hey, it's Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. You made it.
Hello,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Tammy, I sent you a Voxer.
I got it.
Okay, great.
So we're going to get started, even though there's some folks still jumping on. We want to respect everybody's time. And I just want to open up this call. This is a piece of the puzzle coming together for HCF and honestly for you guys. You know, I've spent a lot of money on personal development and, you know, been personally coached by Phil over the last year and a half. And as I found the success in life that I've had, you know, and it's hard to put a number on this. You can't say, you know the Tony Robbins deal, like I did what Tony Robbins said, and my life turned around and now I make millions of dollars sort of thing. But honestly, in many respects, that is true. Mindset is the limiting factor in all of our lives that will limit our success. So if you're successful now, you have a good mindset, the whole point of this program is to make you better. And the strategies that Phil walks you through and the mindset of it, you don't get anything better than this. There's nothing better out there that's more concise, complete, thought out, 15 years of experience, add another 20 years of life experience before they even started this program, of moving through a lot of the same challenges that all of us have gone through as an entrepreneur, as a healer, because Phil is that as well. So the wisdom he's going to bring to you guys makes my heart very, very happy, because I believe it will ensure your success inside of HCF and your continued growth within HCF. As a matter of fact, Tammy and who else from our older Platinum group who have joined us?
Patty.
And Patty. I think Jim.
Jim and maybe.
Jim, Carrie. I'm not sure if Jim and Carrie are on yet.
I'm going to encourage you guys. I want some of the other older Platinums, after you experience this call today, what Phil has to offer, these guys, to reach out to them and put more on there. It's not that we're looking to increase the size of the program, although when you increase the size, actually the value you guys are going to get, including the old and new Platinums, is going to be even greater because of the collective wisdom, the power, the interaction that you'll have. It's going to make their lives better, and it'll trade efficiencies and so many things. So I just wanted to put that out there because I couldn't be happier for this company to have Phil doing this for you. I mean, he's doing two Platinum groups. We thought about combining them, but we didn't because we wanted to carve you guys out as something special so that we can take you guys all the levels. So I want you guys to seriously dig in and everything. Can you say everything? Say everything. Do everything that Phil asks you to do through this process. I've personally been through it. I've seen the success and growth in my own life, in my marriage, in so many areas of my life. And when I say this with all my heart, I wouldn't be where I am today without Phil and some of the same strategies and concepts you're going to be learning on this. And you're going to get it in an intense, concise, and systematic way, and he'll lead you to places you never thought you could go. So I just wanted to say that from the founders of HCF Seminars, from On This Mission, you know, Phil, this is more than mindset, if you will. This is life. This is how you get it done. This is the human brain and what it takes you to move to that next level of success. It is all the things that we need to be better. So, Phil, thank you so much for this special, unique Be Better group that you created specifically. He sat for hours this morning. He's at HCF right now, at the home office, just even tweaking for hours this program specifically for your success as an HCF Platinum. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Warren. I really appreciate that. All right, I want to get right into it, and I realize we have the Platinum group here, but different Platinums, and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute. But I just want to tell you, on these conference calls, Star 6, don't do anything yet, but Star 6 is like a toggle switch. So usually somebody has some background noise, and I don't always know who that is. So at the beginning of the call, I will mute everybody, and then you hit Star 6 to unmute. So understand this. Not only is participation encouraged, it is mandatory. And there's always somebody who is the most vocal. On every single call is always the person who's the fastest to jump in and has the longest things to say. And if you're that person, please don't be offended if at times I kind of cut you off, because there is an agenda and I want to make sure I get to everything. But on the other side of the spectrum is the one who sits in the back and just stays muted and doesn't participate. And I'm going to be honest, you'll get value if you do that, but nowhere near the value you're going to get if you're really in the mix. So I will mute everybody at the beginning of the call, and then as I ask questions, you'll hit star 6, you'll identify yourself, and then you'll share whatever you want to share, and then you go back, hit star 6, and you're back in mute land. If I ever say anything that you feel like you want to respond to, I want you to respond. You don't have to hold your comments. So I have an agenda, but this program, this group, is really going to be driven by the people who participate. So I'm inviting everyone to participate. With that said, I'm about to mute everybody. And then, Sarah, after I do, I'm going to ask you to hit star 6 to unmute just to make sure that we're still connected. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to mute everybody now. Now, Sarah should soon say
hi,
hello.
Hi, Phil. Hi, everyone.
Beautiful. All right, so this is the first time that we are meeting as a cohesive group of only Platinums with the Be Better material. And I know that we have a mix of some newly enrolled Platinums, so welcome to you guys. And then we have some Platinum veterans, so nice to have you here. But let me go over a few of the basics of the strategy here. Be Better is built upon an 8-month protocol, an 8-month curriculum, a strategy. And I know right now what I will cover in month 3. I know what I will cover in month 6. I've done this program, I think, 17 times now, but I'll tell you this, it's never the same. Even though the strategy and curriculum are the same, the individuals are going to determine how the group moves. So it is built upon a strategy, but there's a lot of flexibility here. The strategy is aimed at making you a better version of yourself. When somebody says, what is the program? And I know a lot of people think it's a mindset program. It's not. Mindset is a piece. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want you to understand it's really a program designed to turn you and your life into a better version of you and your life. And here's the important part. It isn't up to me to decide what a better version of you looks like or what it feels like or what it owns or what it stands for. It's entirely up to you. As health practitioners, we all recognize, I'll call it the paradox of human sameness and bioindividuality, meaning we are the same, but we are different. We can look at an x-ray, and we could expect that if we're looking at a human, we're going to see 5 lumbar vertebrae because we're all the same. But the level of degeneration that we see in the spaces between varies with the individual. So everyone's the same, but everyone's different. We understand the value of eating good fats and fermented foods and nutrient-rich plant foods. But some people can't tolerate dairy, and others hate the taste of kimchi and can't stand sauerkraut. So we are the same, but we are different. You are all helping people improve their lives by improving their health. If you're not, this is not the group for you. So I believe everybody right now on the line or anybody listening to the recording can say that. You're here in part because you help people improve their lives, and the way you do that is by helping them improve their health. So in that, we are the same. But some of you like to work with women who have thyroid issues, and some prefer working with athletes, and others may work with the severely ill and find great reward in taking them through the long journey back to function. So we are the same, but we are different. So let me ask this, knowing you're muted and somebody's going to answer, so you got to hit star six before you answer. Who can complete the following statement? Listen first, and then when you're ready, just hit star six, say your name. I am the same as everyone here in this way, blank, but I am unique, or I'll say, but I am different because blank. Again, I am the same as everyone here because, complete that sentence, and follow with, but I am unique because. Who can do that? Star six, say your name. Now, what's happening now is in some of your heads, an answer is showing up. But you're just
I'll answer.
You don't want to be the first to jump in. So who was that? The first to jump in is?
Niles.
Niles. And by the way, the first to jump in on this call is usually the one who makes the most money. So I just wanted you to know that. Go ahead.
I'm excited for that. can you say the words for me again? And I'll kind of fill it in.
I am the same as everyone in this group because...
I'm the same as everyone in this group because I want to improve myself and my practice.
Okay, but you're different or unique because?
I am an individual and have individual issues. I mean, I think that's what came to mind.
Okay, one of the things I'm not forgiving of, and you're learning this very quickly, is generalities. Okay, so what you're saying to me is, I'm unique because I have my own shit, right? I'm unique because I just have my own stuff, which is really saying nothing. So being that you jumped out, you're going to be the first to be put to the fire just a little bit, but you got to be specific. So give me one of those things, one of those issues, one of those things that are unique to you so we can go, oh, yeah, he is unique.
I'm unique because my upbringing was different but from most, but still common, unfortunately. Grew up in the south side of Chicago, arrested a couple times before high school. Kicked out of my home a couple of times and had to figure it out to improve myself and be better. What took a competitive spirit in myself over the years has kind of been broken down, I guess.
Okay.
And I think that's the issue that I run into is being that outward person still because it had been kind of told that I couldn't do that because it got me in trouble in the past.
Wow. Are you in the right place? Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. So I will share, as we go through, I will share principles. Again, thank you for being the first to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
The principles that I'm going to share are proven. These are not just made up. And I think the people who know me well know I never just get an idea and go, I'm going to teach them this. This is all stuff that has been proven again and again and again. Principles that relate to business, that relate to relationships, to finance, to influence, to growth, to what else? Balance, to fulfillment. So if you've heard this is a mindset program, understand it's an everything program. But we can only effectively master the other parts, the finance, the relationships, if we start out by getting clear on what we really want. And we have to establish a belief system that supports drawing the wants closer. In other words, first you got to know what the target is. What do you really want? And then once you know what you want, now your beliefs are what empowers you to conquer it, to get there. So that's what this program is, a human betterment program preparing to turn the things that you want into your reality. So on the first call, which we're now on the second, so I know it's the first time we're speaking, but it's our second call because the first one was recorded, and I hope most of you have listened to. On the first call, I ask a few questions of the group, and the most important one is, what do you want? And if you've heard that call, what you realize is most people have a hard time answering that. When you were a little kid, it was really easy. What do you want? It was easy to answer. Whether it made any sense to the people around you or not, you didn't hesitate to tell them. I want candy. I want to go to the baseball game. You just told them what you want. Now it's hard. It's hard for so many reasons, and we're going to strip away all those reasons, so no longer is it hard. But the want lives in your heart. And as we become more mature, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not, the highway from our heart to our mind gets sort of blocked, and we need to open that up. So we have to start with mindset because that's going to allow us to know what the target is. And let me mention this. This is not a beginner's program. If any of you, you know, listened to the first call and you rolled your eyes at some point thinking, oh, I'm so far beyond these guys, the concept of creative tension, which we're going to discuss in depth, we're going to start talking about it in a few weeks, but the concept, and I know those of you who've been to some of the events, you've heard me talk about creative tension, that is the underlying foundation of what makes this program work. It is a momentum set up to take you from where you are to where you want to be, and that's not just a beginner's concept. I've conducted this program for hugely successful entrepreneurs, for millionaires in the multiple digits, for major executives in business, and all of them begin with the same challenge. They have a hard time answering the what do you want question. And the real essence of the question is, where do you want to go from here? Even if you're highly accomplished, where do you want to go from here? Or assuming you're already in motion towards something, as you should be, where do you want to land? As we go through this, you are not going to compare your outcomes with anyone else. This is really about you. Although, down the road and through the discussion, you will likely coach each other up. So you'll support each other and you'll lift each other. Some of you might be doing talks now and 40 people are showing up every week. Others are preparing to do the first talk, and you're struggling to get 8 people in a room. Wherever you are, the intention is to get you to look forward and to write the script for not only the next stop, but the most thrilling outcome that you can come up with, the most thrilling outcome that you can conceptualize for yourself and the people around you. In order to move into achievement, balance, and finance, we have to begin with RAS clarity, reticular activating clarity. Your RAS is like your internal GPS. It's the part of your brain mind that controls what you pay attention to, the reticular activating system. We've got to start by getting your RAS tuned into what you really want. You've got to focus on the outcome. And remember, while we're all following the same strategy because it works for everyone, our outcomes are going to be different. So just for kicks, who other than Niles can answer the question, what do you want? Who can answer? Very general question. You can answer it any way you want. But let's start there. What do you want? Star 6 to unmute.
This is Tammy.
Hello, Tammy.
Hey. I want to have 3 clients a month, so that I can watch them get their life back and so that I can enjoy the flexibility of owning and managing my own business, my own time, my own structure, and so that I can receive the financial rewards that my family will enjoy. I want vacations every year with all my kids, and I want at least 2, I'm starting with just 2, vacation homes for our family to enjoy.
How many do you have now?
Vacation homes, none.
Okay, good.
But by May 2022, we will have $1 million worth of real estate minimum for our family to enjoy.
Okay, so Tammy, is this something that you've been creating for some time?
Yes.
So
the desire or the words? Yes, both.
Both, okay. So are you crystal clear on what that looks like? I'm not going to ask you to, but if I asked you to describe the vacation home, can you tell me about it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you've done some work here. Would you say that just knowing where you were going has helped you move toward it?
Incredibly, immensely, beyond words.
So as you start moving toward it, and again, you don't have to answer this, but I just want you to think about this. Has the vision escalated? In other words, was there a time you thought I'd love to have a vacation home? And then you get clear on what that is and you start moving. And then before you know it, all of a sudden you're conceptualizing, I should have 2 vacation homes.
Yeah.
Because that's the beauty of this, is as we raise the bar just through clarity, through nothing else but clarity, and we start to crystallize the outcome, our brain accepts it. This is really bizarre, but really powerful, as a memory.
Cool.
So tell me, when you go to your vacation home in your mind, is it multisensory?
Yes.
you can feel what it'll feel like to be in that home, right?
Yes, I can hear, yeah, I can feel the temperature, the air, and the birds, yeah.
And when you do that, your mind starts to accept that this is really happening because you're sending all of those senses that you would experience in that moment. So now your brain stores it in the hippocampus. So the beauty of this is no longer is it a question. So Tammy, there is no question here. When you said this, you were telling me the outcome that hasn't happened yet. This was no longer just a want. This is the outcome that hasn't happened yet. Now, Tammy, I want to tell you, you just set the bar high because now everyone else going, I can't say what I want. I just wanted more free time. You know, because they heard you deliver with such clarity. But I want to point out, we've known each other for some time. This concept of working from the mind outward, this is not new to you.
Right.
So I'm glad that you stepped up and shared that. And I wish for everybody that level of clarity. But for you, Tammy, even greater clarity. So thank you. Thank you for sharing
that.
I will
work on that.
In a moment, I'm going to ask for any other thoughts. I mean, if you could just guys have right now, just based on what we spoke about, anything you want to say about the want, the desire, mindset, I'm going to ask you to contribute just so we get to know each other. And today we're going to talk about a whole bunch of different topics. One of them, of course, is changing mindset. And we will get to all of that. But we do have to talk specifically about you right now. You take a look at where you are, and you have to find discontent. Now, that sounds like a really rotten way to start out a program that's supposed to improve your mindset. Why would I ask you to find discontent? Because it is exactly that will move you forward. Without that discontent, there is no driving force. So right this minute, take a look at what things in your life you're not thrilled with. We're going to get a little stronger, but I want you to start with that, and I want you to get clear on one or two things in your life that not only do you want to change, you would like to almost erase. You're just not happy. In fact, you don't even know how they happened. They're not what you bargained for. They're not what you hoped for, but they are, in fact, your life at this point. And I want you to just slide into the emotion of discontent. I want you to just really focus on that thing or maybe those things. And I want you to feel a little unhappy about them, but maybe more. Maybe more. Maybe a little bit of frustration. I want you to feel a little frustrated with the things in your life right now that we would say are preventing you from feeling completely content or completely fulfilled. And if we look at that frustration and we attach a gauge to it, right now it's at sort of a one. If you start to kick it up a little bit, if you just start to really focus on it more, it gets up to about a two. If we keep going up that gauge, we're going to land on an emotion called anger. And we've been taught that anger is bad. We've been taught that we have to somehow dismiss anger. But now it becomes fuel. So the worst thing that you can try to do as we begin this journey is stifle whatever emotions are real. I want you to embrace them for now. Now, I'm not going to send you out of here an angry person for the next 2 weeks, but I want you to know that for the time that we're talking about improving, if you're willing to get frustrated or angry, it's giving you greater fuel. One of the things that's really hard about changing mindset is we are all the same. So because we are all the same, we all display what has been called by scientists human nature. If you are in fact human, and I believe most of you are, then you are going to display human nature because we are the same. And human nature, when you mix in what I'll call conventional wisdom, which is a little bit of an oxymoron, get us caught up in looking ahead and trying to figure out what else we should do. In other words, we've just expressed that we're dealing with a little bit of discontent. So the normal reaction or response is to say, I'm not happy. What else can I do? And I'm telling you this, it is a really destructive question. You should not ask that question. Right now, if you find yourself asking that question, what else can I do? I'm going to tell you this, it takes effort. It takes determination to get your mind to ask better questions. But this is where the change begins. Instead of asking, what else can I do? I want you to realize that you chose to pursue a path because you wanted to do something you love. That applies to every single one of you. You might have stepped off that path, but you chose the pursuit wanting to do something you love. And there are elements right now of what you do on a daily basis that have moved you outside of your passion. So the worst thing for you to do is to take on more and take on more, hoping that it'll somehow restore the passion. So a much better conditioning question would be, how do I do what I already do better? How do I do what I already do better? Or how do I do what I love doing in a manner that's more effective? Or how do I do what I love doing in a manner that brings greater reward? For example, if you see 8 functional nutrition patients per week and you absolutely love it, you say, you know, this is liberating. I love to be able to talk to people about their nutrition. I love to see the change. I love the interaction. I find the whole process thrilling. One of the things that Tammy mentioned is she wants to see these people change and improve. A very simple answer to how can I do what I do and bring greater reward would be charge more. In other words, if 8 people pay, and I'm just picking random numbers, so there's no gauge here, but if 8 people pay $150 per hour and you say, I love this, I love working with these 8 people, I want to continue to work, 8 is a good number for me, I want to stay with 8, but instead of charging $150 an hour, I'm going to charge $300 an hour. Clearly, what you do is bringing greater reward because you're seeing 8 people, but you're charging twice as much. Now, that's a simplistic example. Believe me, it's not that simple. It's a very simplistic example, but you can see the virtue of the approach. Rather than considering adding in another business element, rather than saying, what else could I do, let's take a look at what you're doing that you love, and let's figure out how you can get greater reward. If you take a look at some of the smaller businesses, and I mean not the giant corporations, but the smaller businesses that have grown consistently, that have had momentum, that really managed to stay in a good public light, one of the qualities that you will always identify is a passion that becomes contagious. A passion that becomes contagious. So the more time you spend with me, the more you'll realize I sometimes make up words. But when I make up a word, it becomes a part of my lexicon. It becomes a part of my vocabulary. It stays. So one of those words that has served me and has served everybody who's ever worked for me or with me is the word contagiasm, a passion that becomes contagious, contagiasm. For many years, I was in the health club business, and the best marketing that we would do is going out into the community with contagiasm. So my entire staff understood that. I want you to have contagiasm, and I want your face to know it, because then other people feel it. Strong companies that are made up of few people rather than the big companies made up of thousands of people, because they can get away with different stuff. But strong companies that are made up of few people, they gain an incredible advantage if they can create, use, and play off of contagiasm. So let's now take a step back and let's think of a simple question. If every chiropractor and DO and acupuncturist and functional medicine practitioner, if every one of them got into what they do because they have a passion for it, which I think is pretty safe to say, assuming we're speaking about people who have competence and confidence, why don't all of them reach the level of truly celebrating their position? Why don't all of them reach that position of ultimate fulfillment? What would limit them if all it takes is a passion and contagiasm? You don't have to answer, but I want you to think about it for a minute. And I'll tell you, whatever answer you're thinking of is probably a piece of it, but the answer has many parts. It is multifaceted. But here's what I've personally witnessed. Most practitioners, or most health practitioners, seeking improvement, whether it's more money, working less hours, more time with their family, a greater reach, most health practitioners seeking improvement in the rewards they enjoy as a result of their business fall into one or both of two traps. And the first trap I spoke of already, it is the trap of looking for something else. If what they're doing isn't working, what else should they do? That's what they ask themselves. And they look, and they find a workshop where they find somebody else who's doing it, and they go, maybe I should try that. And the problem with that line of thinking is it creates a process of addition. When you ask the question, what else, you're asking, what should I add? More, and then more, and then more. So if you've stepped a little outside of your passion and you start to take on more and more and more and more and more, your energy is soon divided between more tasks and more have-tos and more joint ventures and more obligations and more email campaigns, and they wind up doing lots of things, but most of them poorly. So the what else question is very simply a bad question. Now, I said there were two traps. That's the first. The second trap is the trap of trying to emulate other people who you may admire, or you may admire their businesses, but they don't do what you do. They don't have the heart that you have. So, for example, if you don't love marketing and you go to a workshop from somebody who absolutely loves marketing because you want to learn to do what they do, and now you go home and you attempt to imitate what you learned, you're not going to love imitating the marketing of somebody who truly loves marketing because you don't. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to market. You could learn. But don't add more to your agenda. How do you make sure that the things you bring to you are in line with your passion? Well, first, we have to get clear on what you want. We have to get really clear on what you can love about what you do. Even if you don't love going to work every day, what can you love about what you do? And then when it comes to marketing, you'll find a way to market that ties in with your heart and your interest and your passion, and then it becomes contagiasm. So there are lots of great motivators who tell you that the key is modeling other successful people. I actually read in Fast Company magazine, I remember reading an article, and they said, the key to success today is to sit back and watch the marketplace. And when you see somebody doing something that works, you do it. That may be good advice for people who don't have emotion, but what about the want that you have? And maybe that's a difference between altruists like you, people who care, people who are driven by heart and passion, and people who just see business as a game. I don't think anybody here sees business as a game. So I'm not saying don't learn from other people, but I'm saying don't imitate people who don't have the same passion as you. And if you're going to try to read all of these business books by great business leaders and try to emulate or imitate what they do, you better make sure they have the same heart that you do, because most probably don't. We'll talk more about that. But I did ask Mark to send you guys the notes from the first call. If you didn't receive them, no big deal. You'll have access to the member site. You could download them at any time. But I want to make sure everybody's caught up. So if you do have the notes in front of you, I'll skim through a few things. If not, please take some time and go through it, because every call comes with directives. The directives are not time-consuming, but they're important. So being that we are starting live together in call two, make sure you get caught up before we go any further. And one of the things that I talk about in the first call is willpower. We know the word. We know the word. We have friends who say, I need to lose weight, but I just don't have willpower. We talk to people about making better food choices, better nutrition choices. I don't have willpower. We talk to people about exercising. I don't have willpower. As if willpower is this thing that is given out at birth, and some people get it, and some people just get screwed. But I have really made an unconventional study of unconventional psychology, and I tried going the conventional route. I wasn't learning what I was learning. But when I found the work of the sort of rebel or maverick psychologist William James, it didn't line up with Sigmund Freud and everybody else who was in my textbooks, but I love it because it spoke to me. And I said, yes, this is what I'm looking for. So in the notes, I put a quote from William James. I'm just going to share it with you now in case you don't have it in front of you, because William James is the guy who coined the phrase willpower. He made a study of this concept of will. He said, we desire to feel, to have, to do all sorts of things which at the moment we don't feel or have or do. Right? So we would call that a want. In our mind, we have this idea that turns into desire. I'll go on. If with the desire there goes a sense that attainment is not possible, we simply wish. So if you have the thought, and you go, I would love to ride a tiger to the moon. You know, it's a nice desire, but you don't believe it's ever going to really happen, so we're going to say, okay, it's not going to happen. It is impossible. It stays a wish, a frivolous wish. But then he goes on to say, but if we believe that the end is in our power, we will, this is a verb, we will that the desired feeling, having, or doing shall be real, and real it will become. So there's something that you can't see when other people do it, but they will things. And we all have will, and we all can access that will. If not, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be on this call. Some element of will has you here right now. If you're sitting in a chair and you have to go to the bathroom, you don't think, I need to stand up out of this chair, straighten my legs, contract my hip flexors, take a step. You don't think about it, you just go, and before you know it, you're in the bathroom doing your thing. Because you will it to happen. If you decide tonight you want to go to a particular restaurant, you wind up there somehow. So if you believe that the desired thing is possible, the end is in your power, then real it will become. So aside from realizing the importance of connecting with what your heart really desires, the message or the takeaway from the first call is that you have the will power, as does everybody. You just have to access it. You have the will power to create motion, to move from where you are to where you want to be. And when you decide where you want to move to, then emotion becomes your fuel. Now, this is different than common belief. Most people believe our circumstances create our emotions. He's upset because he's here. But a look at the source, and you guys understand that language, would say it is emotion that brought you here. Emotion creates circumstance. So if you accept that, that means your emotions become the fuel that creates your reality. So if you're willing to tap into anger, that is your fuel. I said earlier, we're taught to stifle anger, to keep it from showing itself. And when we do that, you know what? It doesn't go away. It stays internal, and it stimulates the adrenals. Not acutely, because you're controlling the anger. So people aren't seeing it. Your nostrils aren't flaring. But it's in there. And you're getting a little bit of an adrenal response. It's not an acute adrenal response, but chronically, your adrenals are acting on it. Now, because fight or flight is intended to be an acute reaction, right, to get us out of danger, suddenly there's an angry bear and you can run. If we use it constructively, we use the emotion that drives the adrenals to pull us away from the danger So the same is true here. If we use it constructively, we can use the emotion of anger to pull us out of discontent. In order to prevent it from becoming destructive, you have to balance it with positive emotion, with excitement or joy. So you've got to not only find anger in the discontent, but you have to connect positive emotions with your new future. You heard Tammy. She has positive emotions linked to that future. She knows it. She can close her eyes and go there. With that, if she has discontent with where she is today, she is literally propelled forward. So the sooner that you connect mindset, will, and emotion, the sooner you start to feel that the movement toward a better you is automatic. Most of you have already heard me introduce and discuss the three players of mindset, so I won't spend time on them here, but they're important to understand. So if this sounds new to you, please, please, please go back and listen to the recorded first call. The first player is the RAS, the reticular activating system. I said earlier it is like your GPS. It decides, it determines what you focus on, what you see, what you notice. And most people are driven by the RAS. I'm going to tell you, you can program it. You can decide what you pay attention to. The second part of mindset that's vitally important is your emotional experiential memory. That is the part of the brain that wants to protect you, so it holds you back. It prevents you from stepping into danger. But in that, it may prevent you from adventure. So we have the RAS, which is your focus. We have the EEM, which is the restriction. It links objects, thoughts, or triggers with avoidance. And then we have the PFC. And the PFC is where adventure lives. It is where you create imagery of a future that hasn't happened yet. The PFC can destroy the limits of the EEM. So ultimately, you want to have a very healthy balance, a tug of war between the prefrontal cortex and the EEM. Okay, so now we move on. This is the prosperity formula. I'm going to give you a little bit of math here. P equals C cubed. Okay, that's all the math we're going to do today. P equals C cubed. So if you want to write it, it would be capital P equal sign, capital C, and then like a superscript of a little 3. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what, there are 3 C's. One is confidence. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But let's start with this. Confidence, as it relates to your livelihood, as it relates to your profession, as it relates to your career, comes from belief. So there's that word again. I think it's sounding important. Confidence comes from an absolute belief, an unbreakable belief, that you are worth whatever you're going to ask every patient, client, or customer to part with. So confidence, because we have to acknowledge, even though most of us do not do what we do solely for money, we deserve reward. And the money that we receive gives us power to do the things we love to do. And much of that is altruistic, so there's nothing selfish about it. So when we talk about this word confidence, confidence as it relates to your business comes from a belief that you're worth it. Worth what? Worth what you're going to ask each patient for. So when you think about that being a key to your success, and I'll tell you what the capital P stands for, it stands for prosperity. If we realize that prosperity is linked at some level with confidence, and confidence is linked to a belief in what you're worth, it would make sense that it will help you to determine, before you start thinking about marketing, before you start thinking about what else, what about you as a person will allow you to confidently conduct your business? What about you as a person will allow you to confidently conduct your business? Now, in a future call, we're going to separate who you are from what you do, but that doesn't mean you're completely separate. Who you are initiated what you do. Ultimately, what you do should become the source of your prosperity. So you are separate but connected. So you, the person, have some traits that will allow you to confidently conduct your business. So what about you as a person will allow you to confidently conduct your business? Think about it. What are those unique talents, traits, and properties that can fuel your contagiasm? Well, we're all here because we want to better ourselves and better our business, but we're not all from the south side of Chicago. That would be a unique thing. So I want you to think about that. What are the unique talents? And this is not you being conceited. This is you being honest, being introspective and saying, what are those unique traits that I have that can really fuel my contagiasm and make me confident enough to conduct my business and get what I deserve? Go a step further. If you realize that you are unique, and I hope all of you do, if you realize that you have some innate gifts, and I hope that all of you recognize that, if you realize that you have some important perspectives, even though everybody may not share them, then you also have some unique experiences, and those experiences have helped to shape you. How can you link that to your value? These may sound like easy questions to some of you, difficult questions for others, but this is at the core of how much money you're going to make. So all of you are asking for money in exchange for service. Those of you who have already gone through some time with Dr. Pompa have really asked the questions, am I worth more? Those of you who've been with him for a while have answered the question, yes. And you've likely charged more. And then it's a cycle. Then again, you go, am I worth more? But let's start with this. Who can tell me why an investment in your service makes sense? Don't answer yet, but that's the question I want the answer to. Can you articulate why an investment, why somebody taking money out of their pocket or their bank account and giving it to you, why that would make sense for them? But I want to take it a step beyond that. I want you to articulate that, why an investment in your service makes sense for somebody, but I want you to do it in a way that justifies why your service is better than most of the potential options. Because you can't just say, because I'm a chiropractor, because there are lots of chiropractors and some might do it for less money than you. You can't just say, because I understand functional nutrition, because there are lots of people who understand it, and some of it may do precisely what you're promising for less than you. So why does an investment in your service make sense, knowing that you may be more expensive than others who make similar claims? What do you have or what do you bring that makes you worth it? Can anybody answer that? And again, I know this is new, so you know, you're not used to just kind of stepping into the forum and blurting something out, but you'll get there because the more you speak, the more other people benefit from what you say, the more you coach each other. So who's willing to just jump out and just say, I am, say your name, and then tell us why an investment in your service makes sense.
This is Caitlin.
Hello, Caitlin.
And hi. An investment in our service is worth it to them because I have no doubt in any cell of my body, if I accept a patient, that they are going to get the results that we had discussed. So I do not have, any doubt that they will not get better.
You are from Canada?
Yes.
You never know it. It's the word doubt that gave it away. So you have no doubt that anybody who comes to you and invests in your service will get the result that you discussed.
So if I accept their case, because I don't work with everybody.
To you and says, I want a 15-inch waist, you're going to say, well, go away. I can't help you. That's not realistic. You don't have the belief, right? If somebody comes to you and says, I want to have the energy so I don't have to sleep for 2 weeks, you're going to go, uh-uh, can't help you. So when you say the result you discussed, it's really the result you agreed upon, right?
Correct. So what it is their goals? Like, what are they looking for? Why? Essentially, their quality of life is going to change 180 degrees if we decide to work with them. And that's why the investment in us is worth it, because they're now going to have the quality of life that they want and expect.
Mm. So knowing that, or believing that, are you willing to make that promise?
That if they do what we tell them to do, yes. If they don't do what we tell them to do, then no, nothing's going to change.
I want to stay with this for a little while, if you're okay with it. If
sure.
you had to guess, and we can't be precise here, but if you had to guess, what percentage of the people do 100% of what you tell them to do, what would you guess that percentage is?
What percentage does what, sorry?
Do everything you tell them to do.
Oh, maybe 5% that does everything.
Okay.
But all of our patients do at least 90%.
Really? Okay. All
mm-hmm.
of your patients do at least 90%. So let me ask you some questions about that. Is that because you are very good coaches, or is it because you recommend things that are doable?
Well, I personally think that part of it is the type of people that we are attracting into our office.
Okay. Who is that person? Just give me a short synopsis of who that person would be.
Someone who is motivated, dedicated, their health is their number one priority, and they're ready and willing to make a change.
Are they sick?
Yes.
Okay. So they want to get back to the health they were in, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you think you're attracting the right people, you're making the right decisions, you're giving them things to do, 95% of them are going to follow it completely, the other 5%, they may not follow it, or the other 10%, you said 90%, the other 10% may not follow it 100%, but they're going to do it enough to get an outcome, right?
Yes.
So, and I'm not asking you to do this, I'm just curious, would you be willing to back that up? If somebody came to you and you accepted them and you believed you can get them to where they want to get to, and they came to you at the end of the 6-month or 8-month period, whatever you established, and they said, I didn't get the result, would you refund them?
So we would have handled that a long time before that, because every single patient gets some sort of result. So meaning, like, if they come in and they're a diabetic, their blood sugars, their hemoglobin A1Cs come down, they reduce medications, and honestly, it wouldn't have gotten to that point. We would have either addressed it and handled it prior to 6 months or 8 months in the program.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never, I guess what I'm saying is I've never had that problem.
Okay. So
it's never been an issue.
Because you've never had that problem, stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're certain that it wouldn't get to that point, correct?
I wouldn't allow it to get to that point.
You wouldn't
correct.
Allow it. So that means because you wouldn't allow it, you're certain that it wouldn't get to that point, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. So would you be willing then, with this certainty, to make the promise that if you go 8 months and don't get the result that satisfies you, I will give you back your money?
Sure, if they're doing everything that
well,
you tell
let's
them
let's take
to...
away the F, because we're looking for certainty, okay? So with everything we spoke about, here's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said, and I don't want to turn this into like a court of law, there's some attention here.
Sure.
But the whole idea is to get everybody to kind of think a little differently, right? So my belief is the ultimate confidence is the willingness to guarantee things unconditionally. I'm not telling you guys to do that, because you can come up with 100 reasons why people take advantage of you. But I'm just saying, if we looked at a confidence scale, on one end of the scale, we had complete certainty, absolute confidence, that person would be willing to say, I am so certain that I'm willing to guarantee that if you come to me as a patient, if you don't get the result you want, I'm going to give you back your money. Now, that person would say that with certainty, with all the knowledge that you just said, that, you know, 4 months into it, we would have caught it. We would have seen it sooner. So it's just not going to happen. If you have that level of certainty, would you be willing to make the guarantee?
Absolutely. If they will guarantee to me that they're going to do everything we tell them to do, I will guarantee it.
All right, we're still throwing the if in there.
Well, but the thing is, though, how can I I can't control what somebody else is going to do. I can give them all the tools. I can give them all of the coaching. I can give them everything. And it's up to them if they're actually going to do it or not. So I cannot guarantee different results if they're not going to change what got them into the situation that they're in, right? So if they're not going to change anything, of course, well, I can guarantee it, but they won't get any results because they're not taking the steps themselves to get those results.
Right.
But if they, do you see what I'm saying? So I have no problem guaranteeing it. They just have to do what they're told to do to change their situation, to change their outcome.
Okay. I can keep this going. I don't want
sure,
to.
Sure, I get it. No.
Okay. So here's, if you're saying that I'd be willing to guarantee it, but only conditionally if they do, okay, that's different. Just understand the difference. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
Then I am so certain, based on my ability to screen the right people, based on my ability to coach them, based on my ability to ask them to do the things they're supposed to do and counsel them and coach them and check and assess and make sure they're on track, I am so certain that it's never going to happen, that I will not have that person who doesn't go through the whole program not doing anything, because there's no way I'd catch them sooner. We would interrupt it. We would make a change. If you're that certain, then you would take away the if. And I'm not asking you to. I just want you guys to understand that would be the ultimate confidence. Now, I'm also going to say, Caitlin, everything you said is fantastic. Nobody at this point in the program ever was willing to go, yes, I would absolutely guarantee it. So I don't want you to think I'm pushing you to do that. But I want you to understand the highest level of confidence, the highest level of confidence would be the willingness to make the promise. Period. No if. If you're not willing to make the promise, doesn't mean you're not going to do well. You could do very well. Most people are not willing to make the promise. But it simply says there may be a little room, as confident as you are, to become more confident. That doesn't mean you're insecure. It doesn't mean you're not confident. I just want you to realize wherever you're at, you can get better. So if you're not willing to make the promises that compel people, promises that perceived competitors are not willing to make because your competitors won't make that promise, then it serves you to rethink your offering or maybe rethink the way you conduct your business. Or maybe you just need to rethink where your confidence needs an adjustment. If you're willing to make promises, but you cringe at the idea of backing them up, if you go, well, sure, I'll say it, but uh-oh, what if these people don't follow through? That, too, requires an examination of your confidence. So understand that the more confident you are in what you do for people, the more certainty serves you. So all of you I know are very confident in your ability. The bigger question is, are you certain you can deliver? And here's what I'm going to say to you. Most people in this field are not. Most people in this field have that trap door. They have that ability to say, well, if she does only 50%, I can't guarantee a result. Well, if she doesn't go into ketosis, I can't guarantee a result. And all of those things may be true. But understand, it makes you stand out above all if you're the one who goes, yes, I guarantee it. Now, with this guarantee, here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't accept everybody. Like, if I get a sense, I'm not going to take your money to begin with. And if a month into it, I see that you're not following it, we're going to terminate this. But that kind of strength, that kind of confidence puts you in a class by yourself, makes you stand out above anyone else. So if people went to one option, another option, another option, another option, they come to you and you go, listen, I guarantee it. I'm going to tell you what I suggest for you isn't easy. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to ask you to do some things that are hard. I'm also going to tell you if you don't do it, you won't get a result, but I'm also going to tell you if you don't do it, I won't keep you as a client. But assuming that you understand this relationship, I will guarantee a result. If you're willing to say that, just understand this. All of your competitors go away. So prosperity equals three C's. Competence, confidence, and then compensation. And they happen in that order. And we all know Dr. Pompa, and sometimes Dr. Pompa doesn't realize the things he does that are teachable. And I think, you know, he's appreciated that because sometimes I go, do you realize what you just did? Because he's trying to teach other people to emulate him, but he doesn't understand what he has to teach them. And I've heard him so many times in groups and in individual settings and talking to somebody on Skype. He says, your life is about to change. He says it with such certainty. And I'm telling you, that's the point that he has won them over. So just realize that when you make those statements, he doesn't say, your life is going to change if you do everything I tell. That's implied. He does tell people, I'm not cheap. What I'm going to ask you to do isn't easy. It will include fasting. It will include taking supplements, changing your diet. But if you're the kind of person who I'm going to work with, then your life is going to change. So when people look at what he charges, here's what I want to tell you. It's a part of the outcome of that formula. Competence, confidence, and then compensation. So, of course, we have to start with competence. If you're not competent, you could have all the confidence in the world and you're not going to earn a good living. So competence, confidence, and then compensation. You cannot have true confidence unless you are competent. And Caitlin, again, I thank you for hanging in there with me. You cannot have true confidence until first you've proven competent. Now, when some of you step into a new realm, when you say, I've been doing this for a long time, but now for the first time ever, I'm going to get into functional nutrition. The truth is, you're not competent day one. There's a learning curve. So if you're going, I'm not making money yet, okay, you got to get to the point of competent first. Then the confidence comes, and then the compensation comes. Who's going to limit what you earn? Nobody. So when you get the competence and the confidence, really, you can name your own income. So why is it that so many health practitioners fail people in terms of delivering the long-term result? I'm going to tell you why. Because they fail to recognize what I shared with you earlier, that we are the same, but we are different. They fail to identify that each individual is, in fact, an individual. They all may respond to the same protocols, but they all have different sticking points and different false beliefs and different obstacles and different emotions and different people in their lives. So when you learn to identify an individual's motivational triggers, when you learn, this comes with a new level of competence, to identify an individual's sticking points, to find the false beliefs and eradicate them, to identify the obstacles before they become obstacles, you become unstoppable. So what I would say to you now is have the competence to develop the confidence to make the promise. And I'm not saying you ever really have to get to the point that you're saying, I guarantee it unconditionally. But if you're not willing to, just ask the question of yourself, why? What's limiting me? What's holding me back from making that promise? Because that is ultimate confidence. All right, now if I ask the question, how many of you love marketing, please raise your hands. I can see all of you. Okay, not a whole lot of hands went up. Because you don't love marketing. And I know marketing has taken on a different meaning now because now it's become sales funnels and AdWords and Facebook ads and all kinds of social media practices and SEO. It's not what it used to be. You know, marketing at one time was running ads in a newspaper, and that's still part of it, but people don't read newspapers as much. We can still run radio ads, but not as many people listen to FM or AM radio anymore. Now people listen to satellite, or they have playlists in their phone. So the illusion is, because things have changed, we all have to find new ways of marketing. And I said that's an illusion. I want to tell you the most foundational form of marketing is far and away the best. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Phil, I know where you're going with this. You're going to say word of mouth, right? Sort of. We all know the virtue of word of mouth marketing. If you have a patient who tells someone else they need you, then they come to you very qualified. If a patient who's happy refers another patient to Caitlin, she's going to love this other word-of-mouth referral because they come motivated. They understand what they're in for. So we understand word-of-mouth is effective. The weakness there, though, is we need mouths to spread the word. So how do we build So we find those mouths to spread the word. You have your own mouth. And I'm telling you this, the best marketing you will ever do, and all of you will hate that I'm going to say this, I know it, because it isn't sexy and it isn't technological and it's just what works. Talk to 5 people a day about what you do. I will tell you that being in business and being a consultant and being a consultant for some very, very large companies generating lots and lots and lots of money, this is far and away the best marketing any company can do. Talk to 5 people a day about what you do. Now, does that mean limit it to 5 people a day? No. If any of you are regularly on local television, you know the power of that. If you do a good job and you have a good call to action, you learn how to play that, good. If any of you are on local radio, you know how to work that too. So you may be speaking to 1,000 people a day. If you're doing a talk in front of 2,000 people at a large corporation, you're talking to 2,000 people. But the beauty of 5 people a day is you have control of it. You don't have to book anything. Talk to 5 people a day about what you do. It seems so simple. It seems so silly. You start to think about it. You go, the best I can get out of that is 5 new patients. If I get myself on a TV show or I do a big seminar, 5 people a day is over 1,000 people a year. What better marketing is there than reaching 1,000 people this year? Each one of them looking in your eyes and understanding what you do for a living and what you might do for them. And the cost is zero. Now, don't listen to this and think Phil's so unsophisticated. He just doesn't understand the big marketing. Oh, yeah, I do. We'll get there. I'm just saying, man, if you could make 5 a day work, imagine what you could do with the bigger stuff. And here's what I know with certainty. You could make 5 a day work. And saying that, I also know many of you will think it right now you can't. You'll find reasons, and I call those reasons rational lies. When we rationalize, we tell ourselves rational lies. We lie to ourselves, but it sounds rational, so we accept it. It's our ego going, you're okay. So if I'm telling you, you guys can talk to 5 people a day, the rational lies would tell you, well, he doesn't understand because he's from a city. He doesn't understand. You're in a rural community. Where are you going to find the people? Well, he doesn't understand because he's extroverted. He's never been shy. He doesn't know. I'm just an introvert. Well, he doesn't know because he talks about fitness. What I talk about is much more specialized. I'm not going to find people to talk to about it. Those are all rational lies. They're good ones. You could believe them if you choose, but they will limit you. When you start to force it, here's what happens. You start to enjoy it because you realize not only do the people like talking to you, but you like talking to them. I prefer Uber over taxis, not so much because it's cheaper. Taxi, you sit in the back and you see the back of the guy's head. Uber, I sit in the front seat. I just love the stories. Yesterday I had a long ride with a Lutheran pastor. Told me so many great stories. I met a guy who his family was kidnapped in Colombia. They were held at gunpoint. Now, are they making these things up? Who knows? Who cares? I just like the ride. I love meeting people. And again, people say to me, well, Phil, you love that, so of course for you it's easy. No, I learn to. I am an introvert by nature. But it's just when I have conversations with people, there's nothing better. They learn about me. I learn about them. Now, do I love every person I meet? No. Sometimes I can't wait until the flight is over. But there's still an experience there. So what I'm suggesting is you go out in the world, your universe, and somewhere in that 12 hours that you're out of your house, and I know you're in the office much of it, but you're going to go out to lunch. You're going to stop in a store at some point. You are going to put gas in your car. There are going to be people. Find the opportunities to strike up conversations and tell people what you do for a living. Now, having conducted this Be Better program many times and having shared this with many people, here's what I know. None of you love this idea. But I think Sarah will tell you, having now heard people go through several months of the program, that when they get to the point that they get past the fear, it serves them like they never anticipated. Because if you're talking to 1,000 people this year, realize this, there's the word of mouth power in every one. That can reach 20,000 people. And I'd say like anything else, it becomes a developed skill. Now, why would I spend all this time telling you to just talk to people if it wasn't important? It's a good question to ask yourself. So I'm making you a promise. It is important, and it pays off. It gives you an immense power that rolls forward into things you do down the road when you're on TV, when you're on stage, because you're seeing human reaction to what you have to say. So now the question somebody wants to ask is, what should I say? And the answer is, I don't know. It depends. Everyone is the same, but everyone is different. So I would just say, here's where you start. Smile. When you catch somebody's eye, just say hi. And just watch what happens. And if people punch you, like if you go hi and they punch you in the eye and then you try again, someone punches you in the nose and you go home all black and blue, don't do it anymore. But it's never happened. The worst thing that happens is nothing. But in most cases, they smile back. Now, once you get past that point, now you just mention something. What? That doesn't matter. I actually just saw somebody with a Ramon shirt, went out to lunch. I go, oh, do you like the shirt or do you actually like the Ramones? Just turned into a whole conversation. She's telling me about her brother and all the favorite songs and the words to the songs and what other bands she likes. And then she was talking to me about what she eats. And then she told me that she hates olives. And we got into a whole conversation because I mentioned her shirt. So I'm just telling you, when you practice this, you get better at it. Now, we're not doing this because we want to find out if they like olives or not. But in the conversation, you have opportunity to tell them what you do for a living. I help people get well. I help people improve their lives. I help people get off medications. When you say those things, not everybody's going to respond, but some of them will go, what do you mean? And now you're in a conversation. So that was my sermon on talking to 5 people a day. In addition to that, and I'm not saying instead of, you do have your existing clients. You do have your existing patients. You do have the former patients. You do have the people you run into who you know. Get in the habit of asking them. Ask them if they know somebody who would want to fill one of your patient openings. Hey, you know what? I just have 2 hours opened up. Do you know anybody who would need some help? They may say no, but they also may say yes. And if you don't ask, they're not going to say either. I am very aware of the how busy you guys are, and I know I have you for a limited period of time. And time is the next subject I want to talk about, because I know you understand that there are times in our lives where we feel like our business runs us, and it's not a good feeling. And if you are anything other than an employee, you take a little bit of responsibility because you created the business, and ultimately the business is running you. So know this, if you did it, you could undo it. Now, the rationalize, or your EEM, will say, no, you can't. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand because you have to see at least 20 patients before 9 o'clock in the morning because everybody's at work after that. Nobody wants to come in between 9 and noon. That's a rational lie. You can say, Jack and Mary are my longest-term patients, and the only times they could come Tuesday and Thursday night, so I have to work Tuesday and Thursday night. That's a rational lie. But here's what I'm telling you with certainty. You can create your calendar. So here's one of the directives this week. Take out a blank calendar and create your fantasy. Create on paper your ideal calendar. It's hard. If you haven't done it before, it's hard because you're stuck with a lot of have-tos. But the have-tos are not real. You're imposing it upon yourself. So if you do have Jack and Mary, or if you do have particular clients who come in on Monday morning and you decide you don't want to work Monday mornings, then this is a game that you're going to play. It's a fantasy game. Anytime the voice in your head goes, no, you have to work Monday morning, just answer it with, no, I don't. Now, do you need patients? Yeah. So just don't give them real names. Just in your calendar, say patient A. Or if you take clusters of patients, say 6 patients in this cluster or 60 patients in this cluster. But don't get caught up in what is. I want you to think of everything that is as changeable, even if the rational eyes don't want you to. So the exercise is take out a blank calendar and create your ideal. And not only work ideal, but block out time to exercise. Block out relaxation time. If you meditate, put it in your calendar. Block out meditation time. Make sure you leave yourself plenty of time to prepare the foods that you like. Block out time that you're going to plan. You realize it's important to not get caught up in your schedule. You got to be able to take a step back and plan. Put it in your calendar. If you have a staff and you have to have staff meetings, put it in there. If your kids are playing Little League and you want to go to their games, put it in there. But this has to be your ideal. Now, if you're going to go, yeah, well, Phil, you don't understand because my daughter is in ballet and gymnastics, so every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 2:30, I have to drive her. I'm not suggesting that you trade your kid for another. I'm just telling you, if you decide you don't want to do that, there's another way. How? I don't know. But there's another way. Carpool. Hire a driver. I can't afford a driver. Then make more money. There's always a way. So we're going to start by simply creating the ideal and not getting caught up in what exists or have-tos. Know that it's difficult, but don't shy away from it. I want you to understand another, I'm going to say perspective, but I would call it a fact. We've been told a lie. We have been told that the customer is always right. We've heard the best customer service is to recognize that the customer is always right. And I'm going to tell you this, the customer, the client, the patient is not always right, period. We don't have to bow to our patients because somebody thinks you should answer their text at midnight doesn't mean you have to. We are able to set the guidelines and boundaries because somebody says they need to come in right now doesn't mean you have to make an opening. Now, with this said, you're a human with a heart. If there really is an emergency, if somebody desperately needs to see you, but how often does that really happen? If you were a heart surgeon, I'd say, okay, well, yeah, I mean, if somebody calls you, they need you right now, they need you right now. But when we let the customer or the patient always be right, we give them ownership of our time, and it is a huge mistake. So I'm not telling you that they're never right. I'm just saying just get that out of your head. You can pick and choose who you work with. You can pick and choose how often you see people. This is all part of your ideal calendar. And if there are people in your life right now who are taking your time, who are causing you stress, then for the moment, get angry. I don't mean angry at them. I mean angry at the fact that you allowed them in because you want to change it. That becomes your fuel. And if you feel guilty about being angry, ask yourself a really simple question that makes that guilt go away. Do I have a right to be angry about this? And if the answer is yes, good. Be angry. Now, don't get caught in the anger. Embrace it, channel it into control, and then change something. And there's always something you can change. And it always starts with a shift in mindset. So I've asked you to talk to 5 people a day. I've asked you to create your ideal calendar. We call these directives. I think I heard Sarah at the beginning say something about doing the directives, and maybe it was Warren, you know, said do all of them 100%. You know, I heard Caitlin say if people do what I tell them 100%. I'm going to tell you to do this 100%. Can I force you to? No. Will I guarantee that if you show up on the calls and don't do the directives, you're going to improve your life? Yes. But if you do the directives, you're going to see a radical change. So the directives today that I'm leaving you with are talk to 5 people a day, create your ideal calendar. But in talking to somebody, and then another somebody, and then another somebody, I want you to actually meet someone. Now you hear me say it and you go, what do you mean? You just said meet five. No, I said talk to five. Talk to five. If you meet five, even better. But I want you to actually meet somebody, meaning that you will attempt to find a want, something that they want, and you're going to share a bit of information about what you do. You're going to walk away feeling like you know something about this person and they know something about you. It's just not, hey, I like your shoes, thanks. So I'm asking you to post a comment on the board, the discussion board, which Sarah will make sure you all have access to, in the following format. Today I met blank, that's a first name. She wants blank. I told her blank. It's a simple exercise, but just knowing you have to do it will get you in that mode where you go a little further than hello. Today I met blank. I'm saying she. It could be a he as well. Today I met blank. He wants blank. I told him blank. Today I met Jerry. He wants to knock 10 inches off his waistline. I told him it starts by getting things right. Make an appointment with me and we'll get you started. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. Because now I met Jerry. So this is a mindset thing. By turning it into a directive, it gets in your head, this is something you're going to do. Now, I want to finish today by talking briefly about Niccolo Machiavelli. Niccolo Machiavelli lived in the 15th, 16th century. And has anybody heard the term a Machiavellian personality? Has anybody ever heard that? If you have, just unmute and tell me what you believe it is. Nobody's ever heard that term. It's a term that's used in psychology. They would go, this one is a narcissist, this is a sociopath, this one is a Machiavellian personality. A Machiavellian personality is thought of as somebody who seeks gain and is willing to hurt other people in the process. And that sounds really negative. But I will tell you this. I have studied the works of Niccolo Machiavelli, and it is genius. It is genius, and even though it's from 15th century, it is so relevant today. And a few things that come from the work of John Machiavelli is he says, in human nature, we want to lead, yet it is common to follow. Now, he explains that. He explains that by saying that, and I won't quote, I'll just kind of paraphrase, this is what the survival of the species depends upon. We are social. We form communities. So we are wired to follow. That's how the species, Homo sapien, survives. We follow. By nature, we are social. So living within that nature, we mimic. As a matter of fact, that's how we mature. As babies, we learn to speak, to move, to behave by mimicry. But if you had a society and everyone followed, who would they follow? So when you look at how things become a catchphrase, somebody somewhere started it. So what Machiavelli said is, despite the fact that we're wired to follow, some people must take on the role of being leaders. Now, that's not negative. To me, that's positive. So we have to, at times, go against our nature. It is our nature to follow. But if we're going to change something, then we've got to be willing to stop following, at least for a moment. We've got to be willing to take some leadership. Why are we challenged? Because our self-esteem can be hindered when people think you're doing something different. Self-esteem, according to Machiavelli, is based on what we think other people think about us and how we compare ourselves to them. So here's what I'm going to say to you. As we go through these 8 months, turn it off. don't let your psyche be brought down by thinking other people might not like what you're doing, because all of you operate from the heart. All of you are altruistic. I wouldn't say this to people who are murderers and bank robbers, but I'm saying it to people who are wired to help other people. So if you're following convention and wishing to be different, you won't. That's why you've got to be willing to take some risks, to tap into that PFC, to be Machiavellian, to take on some risk, some challenge, to be different. Not for the sake of being different, for the sake of being who you are. So when I'm asking you to do things that are outside of human nature, this is how you grow. And the beautiful thing about a Machiavellian thought process is the person who has that thought process is completely accountable. When things go wrong, the Machiavellian can only say one of four things. I didn't plan well enough. I didn't execute my plan skillfully enough. Bad luck overwhelmed my efforts and I'll do it better. Or my opponents were too numerous or too skillful and I need greater strength. All of those make them accountable. Somebody who is a follower is going to blame. They're going to go, well, he led me into the pit. The reason I'm in the mud is they led me into the mud. Or they'll blame the weather, or they'll blame the economy, or they'll blame the circumstance. So what I'm telling you is you've got to get yourself out of your own way. Be a little Machiavellian. You're not hurting people. You're improving your ability to help people. So as you face rational lies, and as other people in your world try to discourage you, they're going to go, you can't charge that much. I'm saying close your ears to them. Don't let them have any impact. I will open it up to any thoughts, comments, questions. And this is the way I always like to close. So when I say any thoughts, comments, questions, I mean it. It could be great call. It could be, Phil, you suck. You don't know what you're talking about. It could be, you know, you got me thinking about the RAS thing. Anything at all. Just let's end with you guys sharing something. So who wants to just unmute, introduce yourself, and give us a thought, a question, or a comment? Go against that human nature to sit and be a listener. Star 6 to unmute.
Hey, it's Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Oh, sorry. I just turned on my computer. You know, I was on the call on Tuesday, and so I already heard you talk about the calendar, and I did that, and it was fun. It was so much fun. I loved it.
And I want you to realize this, Tammy, and this is just an honest perspective, and having watched you as a part of this group, is you're very evolved in this regard. And I don't mean that to say this was easy for you. I mean, we all kind of have to fight those monsters, which we'll talk about later in the program. But it gets to be fun, and that's what I want everyone else to understand, because what I don't want is people to go, oh, well, she could do it because it was fun for her. It sucks for me. All of you will have challenges with this, but you will get better at it, and it's like working a muscle. And what I'll say is Tammy and the other people who I've known from Platinum for some time have worked those muscles, right? So, you know, Tammy, you went through a lot of the challenges that some of the newer people are about to go through.
Yes.
And for that reason, it is fun. For me,
Thank
this
you.
Is a blast.
Thank you.
What better
me.
Than writing the script for your future and then living
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah, right.
But it takes a while to get those rationalized, to quiet down and get out of the way. So thank you for sharing that. Let me get one more. I'd love to hear from somebody who didn't say anything yet. If you introduce yourself, we then know who you are. You put yourself on the radar. If you're afraid of that, get over it.
Hi, Phil. This is Carrie
Hi.
Young.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You have a thought, comment, or question? You just wanted to say hi. If you wanted to just say hi, that's okay. Hi.
No. Wonderful call. Yeah, I'm very much relating to the different emotions and getting to the overwhelm feeling and the anger and trying to find the balance and doing it all and delegating and then scheduling and blocking out the time slots. So, yeah, I'm relating to all this.
Right. And you, in our last workshop, we worked on my Max 10 system, so you're a little bit ahead of the game here, right?
Right, right. I'm writing that out, and sometimes I'm realizing all day I'm seeing patients with hardly a chance to go run to the bathroom, and that I'm also like, how can I get to the 10? Should now I make it 5, or should I start blocking time and delegating more? So I'm kind of in that place.
Okay, well, good. Sometimes we need to reach that level of, you know, we feel like we're hitting a wall before we break through it. So you're on your way, and that's great. And we're going to address all of that as we go forward in the program. But I'm curious, Carrie, how does the concept of 5 a day sound?
It sounds way better. The 10 feels too much because I feel like now I'm failing because I can't even get to maybe 2.
But I mean talk to 5 people a day, like go outside of your place and talk to 5 people a day. Does that sound daunting or does that sound exciting or neither?
No, it sounds doable. I'm thinking I'm going to have to kind of go some places because mostly I go to the office and then back home.
Okay, so if somebody gave you a choice, says, Carrie, here's what your life is going to be. You have a choice, okay? Behind door number one is you go to your office, you go home, you go to your office, you go home, you go to your office, you go home, and that's your life, right? Choice two, you go places. Which door would you choose?
Yes, going places.
Right. So,
like I wanted to go to the gym yesterday, and I failed because I spent too long with the patient thinking I needed to give more time, and now it's my responsibility because I allowed it.
Okay. You didn't fail. You allowed it. You learned from
right.
it. Are you going to the gym
yes.
today?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're here. Anybody else want to just share a hello? I'd love to hear from one of the newer docs. I know we heard from a couple today, but I'd love to hear from one more. Sarah, am I setting my sights too high here?
No, absolutely not. I know you guys are on there.
All right, the last thing I want to do is end the call with silence. So we will wrap it up, but I will again encourage you to just whenever I ask just anything on the call, and I'm not saying always jump in, but please know, and this is sincere, the ones who we get to know the best are the ones who are the most vocal, and the ones that we get to know the best are the ones who get the most help, because what happens in this group is you guys wind up coaching each other. I mean, you get me for 3 hours a month, but you've got each other through this discussion board all the time. So as you get to know each other better, and I know many of the existing Platinums already feel that sense of family, the newer ones will bond as well. You've got a whole group of coaches here. So the more you're just willing to say hello, the more you're willing to share a thought, the more help and more benefit you're going to get out of the group. Okay, so with that said, I look forward to bringing this forward. Please follow through on the directives. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.